Give us ears that are ready to hear and to receive, Lord, and just open up our spirit, Father, that we might just hear your word, Lord, and it would soak into us today. We just praise you, Father, and we thank you for Pastor Phil, Lord. Just, Father, how much he loves you, Lord, and how much he trusts you, Father, is a good example to all of us men, Lord. And as he speaks your word, Lord, let it be every word that proceeds from your mouth, Father. We thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey guys, real quick, I just want to praise the Lord and acknowledge the Lord for our brother Gary over here. He just celebrated yesterday, right? 45 years of coming to the Lord. So, praise the Lord. That's awesome. I was just sharing with him, reminded him. I haven't seen him in years, so my good friend and his brother, Mike Peterson, the guy I grew up with, and believe me, we did a lot of partying together, and praise the Lord, we both came to the Lord later on. But at his memorial service, I saw Gary and ran into him, and we've been connecting, and he's been coming to the breakfast here ever since. And but, you know, the funny part is when I was a teenager, I'd be over at Mike's house, and Mike's mom would tell us, oh, Gary's on his way over. Well, back then, he was On Fire Christian, and we're like, I didn't know who he was, you know. And Mike's going, that's my brother. He's a Jesus freak. Let's get out of here. So we take off, you know. Lo and behold, here we are together. So, you know, it's amazing what God does, man. He used to run from him. What's that? He's still on fire. Amen. 45 years. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Well, this morning, it gives me...
If I can just get this thing working.
There we go. Pastor Phil Davis.
Thank you, Dan. Amen. Always good to be gathered together with brothers that love Jesus and want to grow in Him. And I hope you don't mind this morning if I give you all a gentle rebuke, because I wouldn't be much of a pastor if I didn't want to encourage you and exhort you to a higher walk with the Lord. And very important for us, it doesn't matter whether Pastor Fernando is doing a song or we're doing corporate worship or prayer time, for you guys to be reverent to the Lord. And that means, you know, when I was raised in a denominational church, we had what was called the call to worship. Everybody would be out in the foyer or out in the yard. And when we heard that organist start the call to worship, we all left what we were doing and those conversations and everything else behind us. And we moved into the house of God so that we could worship the Lord. And I'm telling you, brothers, I want to tell you this, that it's really important that we give God what He deserves. He deserves all of our adoration and praise. And we have this time where we have a gifted worship leader that comes to lead us into our worship time so that we can sing these songs to the Lord and mean them from our hearts. It's not just verbiage, things coming out of our mouth because we memorize the songs. It should be from our hearts, and this is an opportunity we have. So I want to encourage you guys to just make sure that during prayer and the time of worship that we're giving God His due. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 6 this morning. And you know what we have at our church? We have a prayer breakfast. And when I was doing the prayer breakfast, I used to tell the guys, I noticed that the prayer part comes first. It's not a breakfast prayer. I mean, our focus shouldn't be on the breakfast part of it. That surely comes along with it. But the main reason we're here is to gather together to pray. The breakfast is a kind of a sidelight to that. So really important that we understand what the Lord had to say about prayer and how we need to pray. And in our text, let me read this, starting in verse 5 of chapter 6 of Matthew. And when thou, this is Jesus speaking, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. You know, back in the New Testament times, the priests that would come out, they would wear robes, and they would have, actually, on their hems, they would have bells. And they would go around and they'd stand on the corner and they'd shake their garment like this in order for the bells to ring. And then they would start praying very loudly. And then people, what would happen is the people around would turn and look and go, my, look at that priest, what a godly man he is. And they would get their reward because they would be leading these people into paying attention to them and not to be focusing on what prayer was really all about. And that is praying to your Lord. So, continuing on in verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask Him. After this manner, therefore, pray you, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, one thing I want to go back to is something Dan shared with you. It's about the stroke I had. And let me tell you, there is power in prayer. There is supernatural power. And when I had the stroke, Dan shared with me, there were people in Israel, at the churches in Israel, that were praying for me. There were people in Africa that were praying for me. There were people in Asia, in Thailand, and Japan, and different places all over the world that were interceding for me. And I'll tell you something else. We have a Christian school, and our children in the Christian school were praying for me. And if you ever, guys, brothers, if you ever get sick, get the little kids to pray for you, because the Lord hears the prayers of those little children. They really do. And so, you know, if you're ill and you want to, or you have a need, go seek out Isabella and have her pray for you, because God hears those prayers of those little kids. And I know one little boy in particular would remind his teacher if they didn't pray for me, that we didn't pray for Pastor Phil yet. You know, we need to pray for him. The only reason I'm as well as I am today is to God be the glory, because people were praying for me. And I just want you to know, if don't discount the power of prayer. There's supernatural power in going before the throne of God and lifting these things up to Him. First of all, one of the things I wanted to point you out in our passage is, it says, after this manner, pray you. This is not the, you know, the catch-all prayer for everyone. This is how you must pray. This is an example of how we are to pray that Jesus was given us. And that word, the Greek word on manner, is means after this fashion. After this fashion, this is the way that you can pray. And that means no duplicating. You don't have to be, you know, repetitious in this. And talking about repetition, verse 7, he said, but when you pray, use not vain repetition. You know, there is no benefit in how many Hail Marys or Our Fathers you do as far as God is concerned. Because He's not interested in your repetitious verbiage. He's interested in your heart. He wants you to, when you talk to Him, He wants you to, He's your Heavenly Father. He wants to tell you, how would you go to, you wouldn't go to your dad, and you know, your biological dad, and start this glossary, you know, oh dad, you know, how mighty are you, and you know, and your wallet is so vast, and you know, I need gas for my car, so would you please open, you know, we don't do that, you know, we just go and say, hey dad, I need gas for the car. You know, and we have that little talk with our Father, and you can do that with your Heavenly Father. It doesn't, you don't have to think ahead of time, what am I, how am I going to say this, or what am I going to say? You just talk to Him like you would your earthly father. So no vain reputation, that gets you nowhere. and then the prayer closet. And, you know, it's really important for us to, you know, the Lord wasn't really saying, you know, look, go into your closet. I mean, most of us couldn't fit into our closets anyway. You know, there's so many clothes and shoes and stuff in there now, you know, so we don't have any room in our closet to actually find a place to go to. But the prayer closet is wherever you can find to get away from the things of the world and put your focus on the Lord. And I found one of the best places for me is when I'm driving in my car. You know, when I'm driving in my car, that's the best time. When I'm either praying or singing to the Lord, or, you know, or perhaps, you know, the Lord lays upon my heart to speak in tongues. You know, I've done that by myself. Because, you know what, that's the, when it's just you and the Lord, you're not putting on anything. It's not a pretense. I'm not worried about how I look or what I say when I'm talking to my Father. I just speak. You know, when you were a young child, when you went to your dad, you didn't think about what am I, how am I going to say this or whatever. You just went and talked to him. You crawled up in his lap and stuff, and you just, you know, told him, "I love you, Dad." And that's how you can approach your prayer time with the Lord. So where do you go? You know, for me, one of the things that blesses me is to go to a men's retreat. And I always like to take my free time and go into the woods and spend time. That's where the Lord breaks me. When I'm one-on-one with the Lord and there's nobody else around, and nobody can see what I'm doing, nobody can, I'm not, there's no pretense going on. It's just me and God. And that's the times when He really starts speaking to me, and I can see the areas of my life that I need to ask for forgiveness for. And the passage says, don't worry about being like the hypocrites, because your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask Him. It doesn't say, well, my Father knows, so why bother asking? No, it's, you know, speaking that need to your Father is for your benefit. It's not for His. He already knows what you have need of. But it's you sitting there and speaking it. It's just like asking for forgiveness. You're in your heart. You know you need to ask. But you need to speak it. You need to actually verbalize that to the Lord and say, you know, I failed. I've trespassed against you, Lord. I know that I'm wrong, and I need forgiveness. So it's speaking that thing, you know, to the Lord. And then in Luke 11, turn with me there, please. Luke 11. And verse 11. You know, you gotta understand that you have a relationship. It's not, your relationship is not based on how you perform. Your relationship with your Father is not based on whether you're good enough. When you have a earthly father, your relationship was because you're family. You had entered into that. And in Romans, it speaks very clearly about adoption. We've been adopted into the family of God now. And we're no longer the people that we were. Now we're part of a whole new family. And your Heavenly Father doesn't kill His kids because they sinned. He'll discipline you for wrong. And we've all been through that, right? We've been through the spiritual woodshed and had the Lord take us to task, right? That happens. But God does not give you eternal death because of your performance. It's based strictly on your relationship because you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, and now you are a child of God for eternity. You're part of that family. And in our text in verse 11 of Luke 11, it says, if a son should ask bread of you, that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he has asked a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If he then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? The Lord wants you to have the best in your life. We talked last night at the You Turn for Christ service about the abundant life. You know, sometimes we're just living a life that's just kind of mediocre. We're breathing, we're existing, we're going about our jobs, we're interacting with people and stuff, but it's not abundant. It's not that you know, fulfills life. And that's what the Lord wants you to have. He wants you to know love and joy and peace. And those things come from, Galatians 5 tells us, from walking in the Spirit, having a lifestyle that's in the Holy Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to be in your life and filling you to overflowing, giving you that manifestation of that fruit. And those things, love and joy and peace, is everything that the world is looking for. Everybody wants to be loved. Everybody wants to know peace. They don't want to be at war with everyone. They don't want to be at odds with everyone. They want to know peace, and they want to know joy, true joy. You know, not something that is put on. It's got to come from within, and it can only come when the Holy Spirit of God is residing in your life, brothers. So this morning we're going to take communion, and I'm going to ask Renee if he wouldn't pass out the communion cups. And as we partake, I just want to encourage you, brothers, you know, in the area of prayer, you know, develop a really important prayer life. And there's always time. My wife and I get up. I'm retired, but my wife works a job. We get up at 3:30 in the morning, and when I read her the word while she's getting ready for work, and then as she's driving to her job, I get on the phone with her, and we're praying. And that's one of our as a couple, that's our prayer time to lift up prayer requests and just talk to the Lord. So you can find time for a really deep prayer life. And I always want to encourage you guys in that area. And as we approach communion this morning, Pastor Fernando is going to lead us in a worship song. So let's get our hearts ready to receive communion. Thank you. Brothers, go ahead and pick up the wafer. This little piece of bread is when the Lord met with his disciples, he gave us one charge in a manner to remember him and to think about him and to think about what he did for us. And it all had to do with representation of how his body was to be given for us as a sacrificial offering. And this is what the cup and the wafer represent for us, is this is representative of his body that was broken for us. And the things that Jesus went through for you. And it's not just the taking on of the whip and the torture, but it was also taking sin upon his body. He never knew sin. He never knew sin until that moment when all the sins of the whole world, forever, past, present, future, were all laid on him. And a righteous God receiving that for your benefit. So for us, when we sit there and think about his body broken for us, it truly is a miracle for us that we're even here. And that the fact that we have eternal life, that when we die, we will not go to hell. We're going to go to heaven to be with him. And it's all because of Jesus. So let's pray. Father, thank you for what you did in sending your son Jesus for us. Lord Jesus, we're grateful to you for all that you did for us, and pray that you would just help us to be strong in our walks with you. And as we partake of, we remember you, Lord. We remember what you did for us, and we just are grateful and thankful to you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's partake of the bread. And then the cup. In Hebrews 9, it says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. It's important for us to remember that the blood had to be spilled. You know, in the Old Testament, they would take the offering, the sacrificial offering, they'd take the blood and they would throw it against the altar. And this was an example, the cost of that innocent life having to be shed for your sins. And this is what the Lord was looking forward to, that New Testament, the fulfillment of this sacrificial lamb coming to offer himself for you. So important for us too, as we partake of the cup, to remember that Jesus was willing to shed his blood just for you, for each one of us individually. He would have done the same thing. He loved you so much that he desires you to be in heaven with him. He doesn't want you to go to hell. He didn't design hell for you. He wants you to be with him for eternity. So what a blessing we have. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for the cup, and we ask that you would, Father, just use us as men, to be godly, to be set apart for you, to live our lives before our families and our acquaintances, that they would see the things that we do and they would glorify you because of it. And we receive this cup remembering what our Lord Jesus did for us and how he spilled his blood on our behalf. And his blood was on that altar, was thrown against there so that we would have forgiveness of sin. So, Lord, we're grateful to you. We just pray that you would be with us as we continue to serve you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's partake. All right. Well, listen, Lord bless you guys. We're going to do another worship song, and then Pastor Dan will be coming up here to dismiss us. Thank you.
Why don't we all stand up and sing this note for a second?